I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write.
He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host is Anthony Sane from SI's All Grizz.
Hey, this is the Jeff Calkins Show. This is Anthony Sane, of course, back again for Sports Illustrated All Grizzlies. Sitting in Jeff's seat once again this week. Glad to have you guys here. Glad to have Brad Carson across the glass from me. Brad, what's going on, man? You good, bro?
I'm good. I'm good. I just like coming into work so I can see another person.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, I know. I was the Grizzlies had a thing where they were passing out the mask last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, I'm going just to get out of the house,
see
man.
Some people.
I just wanted to see some people. I just wanted to see Grizz, man.
Absolutely. Did you get to see Grizz?
Yeah, Grizz was there, man.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he was there. He was in full effect.
Nice.
But yeah, we got a busy show today. We've got some guests coming on. We've got Jeff Calkins, the host of the show, is coming on. He's coming on actually in a few minutes.
Yep.
We're going to have John Martin, host of the Jason and John Show, coming in around 9:30. Chris Harrington, of course, at 10. And we got some exciting topics that are going. You're going to hear about all day long today on the show, on our show at least.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about barbecue nachos today, Brad Carson.
I saw you tweeting about this, and I was sad because I know.
Oh, man, RIP.
Are you a baseball fan at all? You can be honest with me.
No, I'm not.
But, like, that was the—no disrespect to minor league baseball. That was the only reason I went to the Redbirds games. But you can still go down there at the Rendezvous and put your mask on and go get it. But
right. Rendezvous is very open.
Can you educate me on barbecue nachos?
Well, we'll get into that when we start talking to Jeff. But also, we're talking about John Morant picked up some weight. I think John's been eating some barbecue
15
nachos.
15 pounds, I read.
Yes, like around 12 to 15. He said 12, but I'm going to give him 15.
Him the freshman 15.
Okay,
might as well add it. Just make it 15 so it sounds
15,
better.
Yeah, so it sounds better for radio. Also, the University of Memphis will have a Black Lives Matter emblem on their helmet. I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's cool. I saw that the logo is very nice.
Yes, and it had people on Facebook very angry. Brad Carson.
So will they put it on the side or on the little back sticker?
I think it's on the back sticker.
Okay.
They should just put it.
Put
just
that
make the
big
whole
emblem
thing.
On the side. Yeah,
make the whole
like
thing. BLM.
Rocket.
Right. But yeah, we got Jeff's about to come in. I think he's on the other line. Jeff, what's going on, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm trying to make it, Jeff. I'm trying to keep your seat warm, man, for when you get back.
I appreciate it, Anthony. You're nice to do that. And Brad.
Well, Brad was wondering what's all the barbecue nacho talk about. Some of my followers on Twitter, they know where I might be going with this. But I wanted to get you up to speed as well.
Okay.
Can I share a story with you, Jeff?
Please do, Anthony. Yeah.
All right, let me get you up to speed, man. Okay. So you know I do DoorDash, right? So
yeah.
I'm out doing DoorDash Saturday, and I'm trying to make some money. Money was rolling in good, man. I was headed for $100 in maybe 3 or 4 hours. I was doing good. So my girlfriend texted me, and she was like, hey, my best friend's birthday party is tonight. Like, you know, do you want to go? So I'm like, all right. Whatever. So I'm like, okay, we're headed to this party. So I said, well, I need to eat before I go to the party because I don't know what the food is going to be like. Plus, I was starving. So I live off of Central. So I'm riding down Central. I'm like, okay, I'm running out of options. I said, hey, I'll just swing in Central Barbecue. And I didn't want to get a heavy meal. I just wanted to get something to hold me over until this party, which is going to be in a couple hours. So are you with me so far, Jeff?
I got you.
So I stopped by Central Barbecue, one of Memphis' most known establishments for barbecue or whatever.
Yeah.
And I got a small chicken barbecue nacho, Brad Carson.
Okay.
So I get the small chicken nachos, and I remembered as I was ordering, I've had these before.
Okay.
And when they came out to my table, I get a concoction, Jeff, that was tortilla chips on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Great pulled chicken they have at Central Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Sauce was decent. I asked for the hot sauce or spicy, whatever they call it. I had that dry rub season and all that.
All right.
But the cheese was the issue. The cheese was so I'm a shredded cheese guy when it comes to nachos.
Right.
All right. Yeah, I can,
not the poured hot cheese.
No, I don't like the nacho. I'll eat that, but I don't prefer that.
That is weird.
I don't prefer that. Okay. I prefer melted cheddar cheese. On my nachos.
Melted. You don't like the shred. Oh, okay. I'm with
yeah,
you.
I thought you were talking.
Yeah, I like melted as well.
Yeah, the melted shredded yeah. cheese as opposed
melted
to the
is
sauce.
The way. Yeah, of right. course. Nobody so, else. Right. It shouldn't be shredded. That's savage.
No, it was shredded cheese,
savage.
But it was cold though.
Savage.
You like the he savage likes, shredded?
No, he I like it to be shredded. Warm. I like the shredded cheese to be either baked or melted in some.
He
type
likes
of way.
It melted like us, Jeff.
Right,
it sounds
but
that like.
I don't like the sauce.
No, but let's be clear. He likes shredded. Let me ask you. So Brad understands.
I'm confused.
You do like shredded, don't
right.
you, Anthony?
I prefer shredded cheese in my nachos, yes.
That's weird. I've never heard of that.
But see, this goes down to the whole macaroni and cheese thing, because you got people who like just plain old noodles and cheese sauce. I don't like that. I like it to be the baked casserole.
Oh, that's
type.
Old school, like
right.
grandma's.
Right. That's kind of macaroni and cheese okay. I like. So I kind of like my nachos the same way, depending on what I'm doing.
All right.
Well, where do you even get them like that? That's
exactly.
Insane.
That was the question I asked.
They don't exist like that.
They do.
Exist, they, it comes with a gooey cheese sauce. That's
yes.
how they were invented. It's how God created them.
Yes.
Why are you trying to mess with it? It's where they're served everywhere. They come with a sauce and first of all, you made a mistake by getting the chicken instead of the pork.
Yep. Okay.
And then. You need the gooey cheese sauce, just like you put on regular ballpark nachos, only this time you got everything, you know, you got pork and hot sauce mixed in.
Well, Jeff, I didn't want that, Jeff.
The story has gone off the rails.
Yep. Yeah. This is our first story of the day.
See, Jeff, this is why me and you don't get along too well, Jeff. Mm-hmm. We are going over these type of things.
Some kind of shredded baked thing.
That
literally doesn't exist, as far as I can tell, outside the same household.
Right.
But Jeff, here's another thing. If I can't get the shredded kind, if I'm going to get a cheese sauce, I'd rather have like a queso dip style or like some Poncho's cheese dip or something called Rotel. Are you familiar with Rotel, Jeff?
I know Rotel. Yes, I
All
know
right.
of Rotel. I like Rotel.
Okay.
But anyway, okay. So what happened? Did you complain about the fact that they served nachos the way they're meant to be served?
Well, no, they didn't. They gave me shredded cheese that was cold. So I was like, where can I find...
That's because they never do it, Anthony.
No, you don't understand.
No one does this.
That's how they come on the menu. They don't do the cheese sauce. It was just shredded cheese. It was like a salad. It was like a salad on some chips or something.
Well, I don't like that. I mean, if you're going to do shredded cheese, you got to bake it.
You got to melt.
You got to cook it.
Pieces of shredded cheese. All right,
right.
Where's the story going?
All right, this is where the story is going.
Help us out here.
So when I put this conversation on Twitter, I started asking my followers, where can I get a place where they have shredded cheese nachos where it's melted, either baked, microwave, whatever you want to do, where it's nachos like that. All right, people were giving me different answers, and some guy was like, I don't know if they have shredded or not, but the best place to go is Germantown Commissary in Germantown.
Ooh.
World-famous right. Germantown Commissary. My response was, hey, I'm cool with Germantown Commissary, but I'm not trying to make too many trips to Germantown.
Is this before Lloyd?
This was before Lloyd. Right, this was before Lloyd.
Jeez, this is terrible timing.
So, before Lloyd. It was actually Saturday.
Oh, man.
So, what awful timing. I said that I didn't want to have, I don't do Germantown. Like, I don't go through Germantown.
Okay.
I enjoy living. I don't do Germantown.
You're not going there.
Right, just don't do it. Especially the inner city of Germantown, which is I like to call it, which is the historic-looking part, the downtown Germantown.
By the railroad tracks.
Yeah, I don't fool around out there at all. Just looks too... I don't know. Looks too Mayberry to me. I don't really fool with it. So, long story short, a guy comes at me on Twitter and he says that I'm race baiting. He said, you're making this up. There's nothing dangerous about Germantown, yada, yada, yada. And then a couple other people came in, black and white, telling the guy he knows what he's talking about. Profiling is a real thing. And the guy's like just constantly coming back, like, I can show you numbers to show that that's not true. And I'm like, okay. Like, I get traffic tickets. Jeff, because I don't know what people in your family do, But black people, when we get a ticket, we contest them. Like, we go to court. We don't just take the – we don't just go pay it. We go to court to get it off our record or whatever. So, yeah. But I've been to court in Germantown before because I've been pulled over in Germantown before all the time. So when you go to court in Germantown, the issue that I always have is the demographic in Germantown is probably roughly 80% white. I don't really know, but I'd assume it's probably like 80% white in Germantown. So yeah. My thing is the court should look like the community. When you go to the courthouse, it's about 90% black and brown, if not more. So I presented this to the guy, and he says, well, maybe that's because people that are black and brown need to stop speeding and get their license. And
oh, boy.
He took it there or whatever. So I'm like, all right, this is one of these guys. So he basically was saying that I was race baiting about this whole Germantown thing. And so that's how my conversation about nachos turned into something else. But lo and behold, yeah, Jeff.
I mean, what is your experience? Like, what I think is interesting, of course, is that this is a white guy, I presume, who's coming
out.
Yeah,
it's a white guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What seems to me to be relevant here is like, your experience in Germantown is your experience in Germantown.
Right.
And if other black guys have that experience in Germantown, it's the old listen to it. Like in the end, your experience is your experience, and he can't, you know, deny your experience. But mm-hmm. your experience is... How do you know, by the way, you're getting profiled? So Germantown is famous, and I'm not doubting it at all, mm-hmm. but Germantown is famous for giving out speeding tickets. I've gotten speeding tickets in Germantown, and you're correct. I don't contest them or whatever, you know. So
we contest them, Jeff.
Yeah.
So I get – but I also admit that I'm sure I get treated differently or imagine I get treated differently. What is your experience and the experience of other African-Americans that you've discussed in Germantown?
Well, when we talk about Germantown, we call Germantown a town where you don't go there after dark, because once the lights go out, the police turn into another animal, and that's kind of the reputation that Germantown has. And I used to work on the outskirts of Germantown, and I would see people that were getting pulled over. Like the job I worked at was a kind of hot spot. Like it was kind of the way they were constantly pulling people over. And it was all black and brown. It was just something I noticed for years.
What's weird is it all this happened right before Lloyd, too. Like, mm-hmm. did you feel, when you saw the Lloyd thing then, did you, like, vindicated?
Oh,
like,
yeah. You know,
this happened right before Lloyd?
Yeah,
Lloyd,
the petty machete came out. The petty machete came out early Sunday morning. Like early Sunday morning, I woke up, I saw the Lloyd stuff, and I immediately went right back to Twitter and restarted the conversation up again with that same guy.
You were vindicated.
Right.
All over barbecue nachos.
I bet the same guy who came at you about not painting Germantown with a broad brush is someone who would say about South Memphis or North Memphis, don't go there, right?
He said the same thing. He started showing pictures of, like, black criminals and, like, well, should I assume that every black guy is like this, too? That was one of the – he showed me a news story and said, should I assume that these guys are the same way? I'm like, well, bro, you don't go to those neighborhoods. So, I mean, we're basically saying the same thing. So,
do you feel different about Germantown than you do about, like, in a sense, Collierville is the new Germantown, right? It's the wealthy part of the town mm-hmm. where whites light. Do you feel different about Germantown than you do about Collierville?
I feel about the same way about all of them. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I talk about me doing DoorDash all the time. You got to go with me, too, Jeff. We got to get in the car and get the
after
dash.
The pandemic.
Yeah, get the dash cam going.
We'll be good.
We'll do DoorDash together. But seriously, like I tell people all the time, like at nighttime, you'll catch me in the roughest parts of town delivering food before you'll catch me in the suburbs. Like you just won't catch me out there. Like I just won't do it. And it's just another story. My daughter works for Old Navy, and she's had to work overnight 2 days this week. Now, you're probably going to talk about how terrible of a dad I am. So I call myself trying to be a good dad, Brett. So I called my daughter. I was like, Sabrina, you get off at 4 in the morning. I'll be there at 3:45 on the parking lot to follow you home. So my alarm, I think my alarm went off that night, but I didn't get up.
You didn't get up to help her?
So she called me. She was like, Dad, are you here? I said, oh, Sabrina, I feel so bad.
Oh, no.
I think I overslept.
Yeah.
You missed.
Right, I missed it. So I said, well, Sabrina, look. Sabrina just started driving. She's a senior in high school. She just got her own car. Plus, she was in a car wreck. So Sabrina drives extremely slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was my concern was, if Sabrina's driving really slow in Germantown at night, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Pull over.
If she gets pulled over, I don't know how she's going to respond.
Right.
Because I don't think she's ever got pulled over before. Plus, she was in a really bad accident. And so when I woke up and I thought about it, I said, it might have been best for me not to have woken up because I would have been driving real slow behind her. And then we got a double issue. Like, why are these two cars? You know, I think it would have brought even more attention to us. So she did it again last night.
Let's be honest. If a black guy is driving really slow through your neighborhood, what do people, like, you know exactly what's going to be on the Facebook group is in some certain neighborhoods, it's going to be black guy driving really, and you're assuming that the guy's casing the neighborhood. Not that he's following his daughter home
right.
so she gets home safely.
Right.
You know, that is exactly when people who, and I, you know, when people deny that there's white privilege, it doesn't mean that you get a gold-plated life, everything handed to you on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. It means you don't have to worry if you're driving slow that people think you're casing the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Right?
It means that you have the liberty to drive whatever type of car you want because there are certain cars that they look at and they say, okay, that's probably someone black, that's probably someone brown. So, yeah, but it's a really unfortunate.
What kind of car wouldn't you drive?
What kind of car do I drive?
What do you drive and what would you not drive? Like, what kind of car would you know to stay away from?
Well, I've got an old body Charger. My tint is dark as hell on my car too, so I know I would have got pulled over. That's why I don't go through there. That's why I don't go through Germantown at all.
Your tint is – why do you do that? Why do you do that?
You might have illegal tint.
Yeah, my tint's very illegal.
Your tint's illegal.
Why do you do the tint, Anthony?
All right, see now you sound like the guy that was adding me on Twitter.
No, I'm just asking. Like, why? I'm curious.
Right, I'll give you an honest answer. I bought my car from a cop.
I'm not implying because you're up to no good.
No. Let me tell you. I bought my car from a police officer. And he had super black tint just because he could. And I just haven't taken it off yet. Like, it's not like I went somewhere and said, hey, give me the blackest tint you got. Like, I didn't do that at all. Like, I bought it from him, and I just haven't taken it off. Like, I can think of other things to spend a couple hundred dollars on other than taking that tint off, I guess.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Your daughter got home safely.
Yes, she got home safely.
You didn't go to Germantown, and then Lloyd proved your point.
Yeah, Lloyd proved my point.
It's literally...
It's good.
Vindication
was vindicated.
Listen, that began as a story of you having a weird taste in nachos, and ended as a story of... Total triumph, Anthony. Total triumph.
And speaking of total triumphs, Jeff, the University of Memphis and Coach Ryan Silverfield, they put out a graphic yesterday that showed that they will have helmets with Black Lives Matter plastered across the back of the helmet in an emblem. What are your thoughts on that whole situation, Jeff?
Good for them. You know, I think Ryan Silverfield has, and I think and that team has, handled all this very well, and you get the sense that in the end it comes down to just a little bit we were talking about trust, listening, all that stuff, right? Like, and if there had been a different head coach, I don't know how this would have played out given the lack of continuity, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those players believe in Ryan Silverfield. We saw that in the way that they asked for him to be hired, you know, and Ryan Silverfield has listened. And, you know, they obviously did the unity walk, which was a product of the conversations that they had. And he actually told me at the time that they might be doing this sticker, which it became official yesterday. The only disappointing thing for me is, you know, I'm a member of a Facebook group that, a Memphis Tiger fan Facebook group some people will put some stuff up there that's interesting that I learn from, but mostly I do it because I want to post my columns there, right?
Exactly.
Because there's 2,000 people in there who'd be interested in columns. So what's disappointing is to read some of the reaction. Oh, come on, man. Just screw you. Like people saying, I'm not going to go because you're probably not going to go anyway because who knows whether they're going to have a season or if there is a season, whether there's going to be fans in the stands. But it hasn't been a horrific backlash. I just can't believe anyone at this moment would really. I mean, I can, but I'm disappointed that people would object to that because it's very clearly an expression by the players and something they want to say. So what? You support the players, you love the players, you love your Tigers, unless they tell you what matters to them, and then you're not going to go watch them. Well, what kind of love is that? Like, if you're gonna abandon them at the moment they actually talk to you through the sticker about something that means something to them, how much do you freaking love your Tigers anyway?
Right.
You love the Tigers as an entity, but not as human beings. And that was disappointing. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I know you said that. I haven't been to the Tiger Facebook groups. I actually, like, I think I'm still in those, but I took the notifications off of those. But if you check out the Fox 13 post from the news, that's where the good stuff is, Jeff. That's where you can see all the good ignorance there on the Fox 13 one, as far as the comments are concerned.
Yeah, and it's just disappointing.
Yeah,
it's disappointing. And people talk about true fans, right? Well, a true fan would recognize that these people are human, that the football players are human beings. They're largely African-American, and that's a statement that's fairly obvious, that should be obvious. I mean,
right.
There's nothing anymore that is even the slightest bit controversial deal about it. Like, when Roger Goodell and the NFL are saying it, and so then for fans to, I was just disappointed in that. I was gratified and pleased by the continuing efforts of that football program, and then I was disappointed by some of the reaction. I don't really think a single person will. Do you think a single person will decide not to come to a game because there's a sticker on the helmet?
We live in the South, Jeff, so yes.
Sure.
I think there'll be a lot of people who will.
A lot.
Well, I mean, relatively a lot. I don't think you'll see a half-packed stadium. You'll see that anyway.
Well, here's the good news. Yeah, you don't have to worry. You've already got that built in.
Right.
You know?
But whenever they start back playing, if they get the helmet, if they still have the helmet, I don't think you'll see a half-empty stadium because of, John and Nutbush or whatever. But, I mean, I think ignorance is rampant, man. I mean, this is, we're still talking about the Deep South, And it's like you'll hear people say, I don't want to mix sports and politics. It's not a political issue. It's a decency issue. It's a human life issue. And just to see people's reaction to some of the stuff is so bad that people like me, I have to just laugh at.
Those people are literally, most of the people who say they don't want to mix sports and politics, we play the national anthem before every game. And that is literally mixing sports
and politics.
Right. Like, that's what we do to begin every game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you like some symbols, you don't like other symbols. You're picking and choosing your symbols that you like, and that's mm-hmm. whatever. But don't pretend that there aren't symbols already, that college football isn't shot through with symbols. Of course it is. And people don't mind stickers for the Pouan Leader Bowl on a helmet. They don't mind a black light, but they're going to check it.
Right. And it's like, as far as...
You can sell out to anything on a helmet, on a sticker, and yet if it's for the almighty dollar, and yet it's out of principle, you're going to object to that? It's ridiculous.
Right.
I will say, though, I think increasingly, and I was listening to the earlier show, and Feinbaum was on, and he was talking about, because now we're into July, right? This is July. Is this July 1st? Is today July 1st?
Yeah,
today's
July 1st. July 1st.
This is July 1st. It used to be when we talked about college football, it was sort of theoretical, in the distance. They've got a ways to figure this out, et cetera. This is the month in which it will be figured out, right? Like, there have to be decisions made this month. There is no longer this long runway to decide what we're going to do with college football. And the decisions being made at a time when the numbers are going the wrong way. And, and the Ivy League has already, decided they may push it to the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like 2 weeks ago, there was a lot of confidence that we were going to have a college football season, if only with, a certain number of people in the Liberty Bowl. I think there's much less confidence about it. I hope people get to see those Black Lives Matter stickers because
right.
I'm not sure they will. What's your level of confidence?
I think I'm pretty out on there too, man. Like, as far as college sports, as a parent, I've got a daughter who's going to Middle Tennessee State as a freshman. And constantly, the email updates just get more grim and grim. I mean, as far as her being able to stay on campus, her being able to take classes, on campus.
What have they said? Is this the aforementioned Sabrina, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah, this is Sabrina.
Okay. This is Sabrina.
They basically said that they're upperclassmen, they're juniors and seniors. I don't think they're forcing them to, but they're really asking them to leave campus and stay off campus. Because Sabrina had her roommate picked out and everything. It was a girl she used to play volleyball with. They played for a rival school, but she was one of Sabrina's friends. She was going to be Sabrina's roommate at MTSU. they're not doing roommates at all. So the dorm rooms, they have to make every two-person room has to become a one-person room, so now they don't have as many dorms. So they're trying to make rooms for the freshmen and the sophomores, so they're asking the juniors and seniors to live off campus. And now your question is, okay, so where are they going to live? You're basically asking these college kids to go find an apartment.
Are they living off campus and then just doing virtual learning? In other words, will they be living in Memphis or in Chattanooga and Knoxville? And maybe that's what they're asking. It's just do virtual learning for the upperclassmen.
I'm not really sure what they're asking them to do, but it's like Sabrina's like worried. She's worried sick because she was so dead set on MTSU. She applied for MTSU, got approved, and she was done. Like, she didn't want to go anywhere else. And now she's like, I don't even know what to do at this point. Like, she doesn't know if she's actually going to be, you know, going there or not. So with that being said.
So my high school senior, same thing. I got one, and he's going to Duke. And we just got an email yesterday, an update, saying they're still planning to go ahead. They're starting a week earlier. They're going straight through, no fall break, till Thanksgiving, exams for Thanksgiving, and then they're taking off till late January, and then you're doing the same thing, though, spring break. But they did say they're going to test everyone when they get to campus, which is good, I think. And, of course, that's just a slice in time. You know, someone could get it a week later, but I was sort of pleased that they're going to be testing everybody before they get to campus. I don't know. Like,
y'all saw the Shelby County released that they're going to give options for these students.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I don't really. So the option is going to be you can do all virtual learning or you can do in-person learning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Up to you.
I guess it's up to you. What is that? I will tell you that as someone who has experienced virtual learning with my two kids this past year, and I'd be interested in what Anthony's view was of it, I don't think it's the same. I just don't think it's the same, and I'm worried that, listen, a dedicated kid who's really, you know, who's really involved with doing a good, I can flourish, I'm sure, with virtual learning. But I think a lot of kids are going to fall way behind with purely virtual learning. Well, what was your experience, Anthony?
Well, as far as me personally,
your kids, yeah.
With Sabrina.
Like Sabrina, yeah, at White Station.
Her school year was, you know, pretty much over by the time, you know, everything happened anyway, with her being a senior. But Gabe, on the other end, he called it Corona break, and he basically told his mom.
Oh, no.
Now, Gabe is 6 years old, and he told his mom he was done with work because he was on Corona.
Is that first grade?
He's kindergarten.
Okay.
He told his mom he was on Corona break.
That's the hardest one.
The people who choose to do it virtually, it's for a lot of them, it's going to be Corona break. It's going to be an extended Corona break. And right. And particularly if they don't have the supervision at home to keep them engaged, et cetera, it's going to be really tough for some of those kids, I imagine, and we already had issues of test scores and keeping up and everything else in this community. I guess I understand it because what it does is if enough people choose to learn virtually, it actually helps the social distancing for the people who learn in person. I think I would pick in person. Well, what do you have you thought about it, Anthony? What are you going to pick for Gabe?
I don't know. That's something his mom is probably going to veto. Whatever I decide to do, she's probably going to make the ultimate decision. I don't know, man. That's a hard thing to think about, especially with kids that little. I don't really think we're in the position to really let him. Because that's another thing you got to think about too. Like, a lot of us have to go back to work. So how does that work if you're going to have parents who want to do what's best for their kids, want them to be safe, but they just can't do it. They're not working from home anymore or never were working from home. So, yeah, you got that whole dilemma as well. Well, Jeff, I'm going to let you go ahead and enjoy the rest of your vacation, bro. Until tomorrow.
Thanks, Anthony.
We'll talk again.
Appreciate you doing this. Yep.
Thanks,
bye.
Jeff.
All right, that was Jeff Calkins, of course, the Jeff Calkins Show and also the Daily Memphian. We're about to take a break. Later on in the show, in the second hour of the show, we're going to take phone calls about this whole Black Lives Matter thing with the helmets in the University of Memphis. But we're going to take a break. This is 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Enjoy a fun farm-to-table experience with today's Perks deal. Half off $50 to Belly Acres Restaurant. Belly Acres offers award-winning signature 100% grass-fed burgers with farm-fresh produce, meats, grains, and more. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
There are few rites of spring more satisfying than the annual deep clean, but many homeowners fail to include their air conditioning system in this ritual. There are a lot of low-priced tune-up offers out there, but your air conditioning system is a big investment, so be sure you're trusting its maintenance to professionals, like Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning. Since 1970, we've been providing quality service at reasonable prices. Schedule your $95 Precision Air Conditioning tune-up today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
Today, your McDonald's order could be more than an order. It could be the first meal you've enjoyed back inside your favorite Mickey D's. It could be a quick bite after getting a fresh cut from a real barber. Or it could be your way of getting back to feeling like yourself again. Whatever this order is, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Enjoy some of your morning favorites, like a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or sausage McGriddles for just $1 each. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities.
It's no crime to love true crime. In fact, you're not alone with your fascination for murder and mayhem. That's why the Radio.com app has a wide range of true crime at your fingertips, like the popular podcasts Up and Vanished, The Clearing, Most Notorious, Southern Fried True Crime, and so much more. All available 24/7 and all just a click away. When it comes to true crime, Radio.com has it locked up. Radio.com, on your desktop or download the free app now.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
The fourth is your time to show off your skills. Burgers? Check. Hot dogs? Check. Refrigerator? Well, before yours decides to check out and ruin your backyard barbecue, upgrade to a new one. Lowe's has you covered with appliances up to 40% off, like an LG InstaView side-by-side refrigerator for $12.99. With a generous amount of space, you'll have even more room to store your family's favorites and everything on your barbecue menu, too. This year, we're home for the fourth. Visit Lowe's and make it the best it can be. Valid through 7-8, U.S. only.
Heard of the job? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Anthony Sain from SI's All Grizz.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, this is Anthony Sain. You're sitting in Jeff's seat. Jeff just got done destroying me for my taste in barbecue nachos. We're going to talk to John Martin and see what he says. John Martin. John Martin is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays from 11 to 2. John, what's up, my guy?
What's up, man?
Man, I'm trying to make it, brother. Please tell me that you have similar taste in barbecue nachos as I do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of, you know, I mean, they really are a delicacy, are they not?
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're great. Here's the thing. Let me clear this up because I already got destroyed in the first segment. I'll eat barbecue nachos however you give them to me. But the egregious error that Central Barbecue made Saturday, I couldn't get with. Now, if I have a preference, here's my preference order, John. Number one, I'd like for them to be with shredded cheese that's melted, either baked or melted in the microwave, whatever you want to do. I want the pull factor with the nachos. I can just grab chips, meat, dry rub and pull this cheese and eat it like, you know, like that. That's my number one option. Yeah. Number two, hit me with the queso dip, whether it be white or the Rotel. John, I know you know what Rotel is, right?
Of course.
Okay,
come
Jeff
on,
knows
what
it was.
What were you thinking of, uncultured?
Okay, I just want to make sure, brother. I just want to make sure. Because I know you got a birthday coming up, and I know you invited me to some shenanigans you got going on. If there's no Rotel, I won't be there, John. But I will walk into.
Let me pass that along, man. I will say I don't. It's not something that I make on the regular, but it's like a, you know, Rotel is like a. For me, it's like it represents an occasion. You know, if Rotel is available, then you know it's like a shindig or a Super Bowl party or a, you know, Thanksgiving or something.
It's your birthday, though, bro. It's bad cheese sauce, is what it is.
Wait, what we're not gonna do is put our mouths on Rotel unless we're devouring it
All right.
with some Dorito chips. That's what we're not going to do. Yeah, that's
how you put a Dorito on.
See, have you went that deep down to the Rotel hole, John? Mm.
Doritos. Okay, I think I'm used to the regular Tostitos. You know what I'm saying? But you go with the Doritos.
Well, okay. I don't. But that is the next level of culture. I don't go that far down myself. But I prefer the Las Delicias chips is what I usually like to go with.
Gotcha.
Right. So you did hear my conversation about the whole thing about we talked about this on your show yesterday as well. So yeah. But
for sure.
But here's the thing though, John. I was willing to come to Germantown for your party, but if y'all ain't gonna Rotel, man, I gotta have some second thoughts about that whole situation.
Yeah, no, I'll I don't know if that's one of Sam's specialties. You know what I'm saying? I'll just speak for her on that, but we'll find a way. We'll find a way. Don't worry.
All right, bro. Have you heard the news that Zion Williamson was just announced to be the cover athlete for NBA 2K21 on the next generation systems, PlayStation 5 and whatever in the world the Xbox is coming out with?
Mm. Yeah, that was that was the expectation, right? I mean, just because he represents, I think, to a lot of people, the next generation of the NBA. So it does definitely make some sense. I do think Ja will be that guy one day. I do think he's going to have a career where, certainly if Damian Lillard's getting on a cover, mm-hmm. then it gives me hope that Ja Morant can get on a cover too. I mean, the guy's averaging 17 and 7 basically as a rookie. He's only going to get better. I think it's very possible that by his third or fourth year, he's averaging 23, 24 points a game, if not more. I think that's clearly on the table for him, and that's going to put him in consideration. But I think for right now, it makes a lot of sense. Like, it's not too controversial. I mean, Zion is larger than life, and I think for the most part, his play has met, the expectations, the hype that everybody, mm-hmm. Had for him coming in. So I did hear that. I did expect that. And I think it's a fine choice given with what they're just trying to go with, which is, all right, here's the next wave of NBA superstardom. But it's really, it's Zion 1A and Ja 1B. I mean, you can throw Luka in there for mm-hmm. sure, too. When I think about the guys that sort of spearhead the future movement of the NBA, I think you really have to start with Zion and Ja for sure.
Well, here's my fear, John. I've been kind of dissecting this, chewing on it for the last 24 hours. Once I saw that Damian Lillard wasn't going to be for both generations. When I saw there was going to be a next gen, I was like, okay, so who are they going to do for the next gen cover? And here's my biggest fear, and I know it's going to be yours as well. Your heart's probably going to sink when I put this out there. Because I kind of know how 2K moves. Zion's going to be the cover athlete for the next generation, right? Now, for the European cover, that's been Marc Gasol in the past, various guys. Mm-hmm. That's 100% going to be Luka, right?
Yeah.
John, you still there?
No. Listen.
All right, but hold on, John. That's not my fear. My fear is this. I got a fear that EA Sports is going to hit up Ja about being on their cover, and it's going to be the worst thing in the world.
No. EA Sports does not even put a game out right now. All right.
But aren't they going to put out a next gen one though?
Are they?
I think they are, bro.
Oh, stop that!
Please don't put Ja on the cover.
What is that, like a knockoff?
No, yeah, it's inferior competition.
Oh.
That Ja would agree to that.
I hope he does.
Ja would not want to be the NBA Live cover. he would decline that.
Because you remember that NBA Live that had Kyrie Irving? Was the worst game of all time.
Kyrie was on the cover of that, too?
Yeah, he was on the cover of 2K, not 2K, NBA Live 14 or whatever.
He was on the cover of 2K, too.
Yeah, he was on both of them. But I'm saying the fact that game was just so trash.
I haven't played an NBA Live game since I guess it would have been D Wade on the cover.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
You got to go way back. I think John's going to get his turn on 2K, and his management's going to be smart enough to decline the EA Sports invitation for sure.
Yeah, this is John Martin. He's the co-host of the Jason and John Show every day from 11 to 2 on 92.9 FM ESPN. John, sticking with Ja Morant, Ja, he beefed up a little bit, man. He had a tweet out saying that he quoted a tweet from a trainer. Not sure if it was Ja's trainer or not, but someone who was a trainer on YouTube, and he spoke about Ja getting big and won't have to wear the arm sleeve. You won't see him pulling up on the arm sleeve as much as you did last year. This year, I'm sorry. And Ja said he's picked up 12 pounds. What are your thoughts on Ja possibly picking up a little weight coming into the bubble?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think it's only beneficial for him. You know, I mean, he's a guy that gets to the rim all the time, you know, and it's only going to help him, you know, durability-wise in terms of, you know, absorbing contact and just overall, you know, putting himself in a position to, you know, not get hurt and not get banged up. So, no, I mean, I don't know how much more his frame can put on, right? I mean, I don't think there's a lot of room on his frame to add, you know, 20 pounds of muscle. He's never going to be Russell Westbrook, right? Like, he's just never going to look like that.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, how can you argue with it? I mean, this sort of prepares him for, you know, contact, and he's going to be absorbing a lot of it. So, you know, I think if you're a Grizzlies fan, you got to be excited about that.
Do you think that people kind of get overblown with the whole Ja needs to pick up weight thing? I kind of roll my eyes at it because I'm like, okay, Ja's a phenomenal player, and the fact that he's wiry and he's lanky like he is, it helps with his, you know, it helps with his rise, helps with his quickness. And you look at guys like who I know that Memphis love, like Allen Iverson, Mike Conley Jr., those guys never picked up weight. And Mike would pick up muscle every year. But, you know, if you know sports, you know when basketball players pick up muscle, 9 times out of 10, they're going to lose it once the season starts anyway. So I just always thought it was overblown. I think Ja's going to get stronger over time. I don't think Ja's ever going to be much bigger than what he is now. Like Will Barton, he still has pretty much the same body frame he had when he was in Memphis. It's not always guaranteed that a guy's going to get bigger as he gets older. Do you think that's kind of overblown, the way people kind of hype the whole Ja needs to pick up weight thing?
Yeah, because he's not going to change the way he plays. You know, like he's not all of a sudden going to be just this
bowling ball,
wrecking ball.
Right.
You know, he's not going to be Zion. You know, I mean, he's always going to be a guy whose game is predicated on athleticism, on decision making, on speed. You know, on ball handling, on vision. These are all things that, I mean, and he's gotten by his entire life at that size. You know, Murray State, he was averaging 20 and 10, you know, at that size. So, no, I mean, you see this all the time. Like, when guys come back in training camp, you know, they've added 5 pounds of muscle or whatever. But it very rarely does change the trajectory of their careers. I just think for Ja, it's, you know, it's just a better way to sort of handle, you know, contact at the rim, you know, because that's where he wants to go. So I think for him, it's really just a way to better navigate that than anything else.
Well, let me ask you another question, John, as far as kind of Grizzly related, so to speak. I know that you have a history covering Memphis basketball, Tiger basketball, things like that. I just thought about this kind of hypothetically, and I thought I'd get your opinion on it. We all know that Mike Miller stepped down at the University of Memphis as the assistant coach. Let's say that the Grizzlies give him a call to replace Neil Ivey on that Grizzlies bench. Do you think that's a big enough of a job to get him off the couch and coaching for the Grizzlies?
You know, I don't think so. I think for him right now, he's really trying to, in a way, get out of the grind that is coaching. And you know, college basketball is a grind because you got 10 games on the road. You know, you have a practice every day. You're on the road recruiting. You know, it's a grind, but it ain't even close to what the NBA grind is. I mean, you're on the road. You know, I mean, if you're coaching on a good team, you know, you have a potentially 7, 8, 9 month season. I mean, it's really a different animal. So, you know, I think for Mike right now, he's going to do something. You know, he's going to get involved in basketball in some way, shape, or form. But I do not expect that to look like on the bench. I mean, I think, you know, in terms of what I see from Mike, you know, more of a front office role. If it ends up being the NBA, I think it's going to be more of a front office role kind of thing. Because, you know, I think he'd be really good there. Like, I think he's got the relationships. I think he's got the contacts. You know, if that's where his heart told him to go, then I think that would make a lot of sense. But no, I don't think we're going to be seeing Mike on an NBA bench anytime soon.
Well, going back to your roots a little bit more, John, Lausanne High School, the Murray State product campaign, signed a deal with the Phoenix Suns yesterday, a 2-year deal. When you see things like that, I mean, shout out to campaign, first of all, for getting the contract.
Yeah.
But when you see things like that, especially on a team like Phoenix, who you know they're playing for absolutely nothing, does that kind of make you think they're getting ready to throw in the towel and they're just going to, like, guys are going to be leaving and going home or not playing at all when you see them signing players this late in the game?
They shouldn't be there anyway.
Right.
I mean, they shouldn't be there in the first place. You know, there's absolutely no reason for the Phoenix Suns to be in Orlando. They're not a playoff contender. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just not. I'm happy for Kent. Mm-hmm. Really, it just makes me wonder what, you know, I mean, Cam was one of the stories of, I guess it would have been the 2016 draft.
Something like that. Yeah.
He came from out of nowhere at Murray State.
Right.
You know, and he was really one of the talks of that particular draft. It really makes me think, like, what went wrong, you know, because
right.
he was there in Oklahoma City. I guess, he never got the tick, you know, because Russell was there and, you know, all that. But it really just makes you wonder, like, man, what happened with Cam? I know he had some injuries too, but I think when I see stories like this where guys are signing 2-year deals with bad teams, it's like it just reinforces how damn difficult it is to not only be drafted into the NBA, but like stick in the NBA. It's incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You look at a guy like Campaign, he's – you know, that guy got Mike Conley comps coming out of college. Like, people yeah. were saying, yeah. you know, he'd be a Mike Conley type guy. The Grizzlies even had interest in him from what I was hearing. You want to see him do well, but like we talked about, Phoenix, they probably shouldn't be in the bubble at all. Like, they're – because, like, you're literally just trying to make numbers work for TV and for money. And when you look at a team like Phoenix being in the bubble situation. Well, John, what are your thoughts on the Black Lives Matter helmet thing that the Tigers are doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's yet another statement, right? Like, Ryan Silverfield has been very upfront about sort of the, you know, the things that he feels compelled to do. Like, and I talked to him last night, you know, about it, and he said it can't just be, you know, I sent out one tweet 2 weeks ago. I can't just do, you know, one unity march. I have to continue to sort of walk the walk and listen to my players. It sounds like, you know, some of his players – came to him with the idea, and he was certainly receptive to it. And he cleared it through the channels that he had to clear it through. And I even explained this to him last night. I said, you know, you're gonna inevitably with this decision, you're gonna make a season ticket holder mad. You know, there's gonna be a season ticket holder or 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 100 or 200 out there that see that and are upset by it because. In their minds, BLM stands for something that it doesn't.
Right.
And he said, you know what? He said, that's part of my job. You know, people are going to question everything I do. They're going to criticize a lot of the things I do. You know, Brad Carson wanted me fired after the Cotton Bowl because I lost the game. You know, so I'm used to people questioning my decision making and criticizing my decision making. But he said, I felt like this was the only decision and the only right decision that I could make. You know, because I have to listen to my players and I have to listen to my team. And, you know, that's our mission, you know, going forward. And we wanted to make that national statement. So, you know, I think it's I'm pretty sure, Anthony, they're the first Division I team to put that decal on their helmets. I don't know of another one out there right now. So I think it means a lot. You know, I think it does send a message nationally that, you know, Ryan Silverfield is the guy that is going to listen to his team when they speak up. And, you know, I mean, you think Mike Gundy would do that? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, do you think Mike Gundy would you know, or you know, Mike Leach? Do you think they would put that on their helmets? I mean, that's, you know, I don't think it's nothing. You know, I think it definitely, you know, is a significant decision. So, you know, I give him credit for doing that because it's not going to be universally popular. Nothing is in 2020, but I mean, that's such a charged, you know, acronym for whatever reason to a certain section of people. So I give him credit for taking that step and listening to his team for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, man. I just my only thing is I just hope that more is done by the university. I hope that they allow the players to be expressive. I hope that they maybe, you know, start some funding or some programming to, you know, kind of just take it past the awareness state and just, you know, try to repair some things and make things better in the city. But I definitely, as a emblem, on a helmet, I think it's a great sign. It looks great. Me and Brad talked about that when the show first started. It looks really good. I wouldn't mind seeing if they had the whole thing. If they made the whole, the emblem on the side of one of the helmets, I think that'll be sweet too. But I just hope we can get some fans in the arena to actually see those helmets in person, man. Do you think that's actually going to happen, that we're going to have a season this year?
Man, I have totally abandoned any predictions, like trying to make any kind of, you know, guess as to what this thing is going to look like. I mean, my gut tells me that it's going to be incredibly difficult to have a college football season. You know, I just don't. I think we're going to have professional sports because there's you know, they're professional athletes, and you know, they have to make money, and so they're going to want to play to make money. Like we're seeing. The NBA is coming back not because they love fans, not because they want to give, you know, society a break. They're coming back to not forsake that $1.2 billion that they would lose. They're coming back so they would not have to rip up their collective bargaining agreement and potentially enter into a work stoppage. That's why they're coming back. That's why the NFL will play. That's why Major League Baseball will play, because there's so much money at stake. And there's money at stake in college football as well, but none of it goes to the players. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And so, you know, I think that's what makes this a whole hell of a lot more complicated, is just the simple liability of college football. You can't put these guys in a bubble. They're going to be traveling across the country. I don't know. I'm not equipped to answer the questions that I think that come with having a season. You know, all the people we talk to say, I think there's going to be a season some way or another, but how? How can you? I just, that's the one where college sports to me right now is just so up in the air. Like, I'm very skeptical about that, how it looks. I'm hopeful. I hope they find a way. I hope that, you know, everybody gets on campus and, you know, these students come back to school. I think that's another question. Like, we have to have our young kids in school for society purposes, right? Like, you know, because adults have to go to work, and we can't just keep our 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds at home. I mean, that's just not feasible.
Except for Gabe. Gabe ain't going to school.
Yeah.
Gabe said he ain't going.
We can't. I'm just saying, we can't afford that as a society. But with colleges and universities, that's all That's all just about tuition and you know, money. Mm-hmm. That's not about they can learn online, right? In a way that 5- and 6-year-olds simply cannot. So I think the questions are just a lot different for higher education, higher institutions of learning. So I think we're going to have school for kids. Right, Shelby County is going to give parents the option to, you know, send their children to school in person or do it online. Mm-hmm. I don't know what colleges are going to do, and I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions.
You brought up an important point as well. Jeff had asked me, like, what's my viewpoint on what I think I'll do with my kids. I said it's something I have to talk to my kids' parents about, you know, since we co-parent or whatever. But just thinking now, like, if my child was an athlete, whatever level athlete, if they were like, you know, an NFL or NBA prospect or just a college athlete, period, I don't even think I want my kids to even go participate in it. It's like, you made a good point, like, with these NBA guys, they're doing it for money. They're doing it to, you know, for various reasons and to leave a legacy behind. These college guys, they're not really playing for anything other than nothing, really. Like, there's no benefit to the athlete going out there at all.
No, I mean, their scholarships will be honored regardless. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not like they're going to have their scholarships taken away if they opt not to play. You know, I think that's the real dilemma that I have with college sports, is like, we put our heads down in non-pandemic times, you know, knowing that these kids are doing two-a-days and, you know, traveling across the country. And don't get me wrong, like, it is not a miserable experience to be a college athlete. It's incredible. If you are a Division I college athlete, you are among the luckiest people on planet Earth. But you are not paid for your work. I mean, and that is just the bottom line. You are making tens of millions of dollars, if not more, for the school you represent, and you are seeing none of it. And miss me with room and board. Miss me with tuition. That is not payment, and you still have bills, and you still have things you need for yourself. So miss me with that. But yeah, I do think that that is the problem, you know, with college sports. NFL, those guys get paid. Those guys have livelihoods that they have to protect. You know, they got families. They got big-ass mansions and cars and helicopters they got to pay for. So they're going to be out there. Like, trust me. Like, if they can be out there, they will be out there. But college players, they don't get paid. You know, and so I think the majority of them will want to play because that's what they want to do. They want to play sports. But I just think the decision-making for, you know, Division I sports is a whole hell of a lot different than professional. And you can't put those kids in a bubble the same way that you can at, you know, the NBA. So I'm just a little less sure of how they're going to proceed with the season. No, I hope they find a way to figure it out for sure. If that means spring, you know, I guess we're hoping that things look drastically different in the spring. You know, if you have a college football season in the spring, I could see a scenario where if that's what you decide, you start a college basketball season in January and you do mostly just conference games. And then because honestly, I don't know how the NCAA basketball side can miss out on March Madness revenue again. They missed out on this year's. How can they move forward if they miss out on it again in spring 2021? I mean, you got to feel like the ramifications financially would just be absolutely epic. So I hope they find a way to figure it out. I really do.
Well, it'll definitely be tough. But, John, we're going to let you go, man. You got your own show to get ready for. That was John Martin.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
We're going to take a break, Brad, and when we come back, we're going to have Chris Harrington. But remember, we're going to take calls in the second half of the show, in the last segment of the show at 535-3776. We're going to talk about this Black Lives Matter helmet situation with the University of Memphis again. And this is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Sometimes I don't think people realize how unusual it is that I actually have the cell phone number of my banker in my phone. Do you out there? Do you right now? Do you have the cell phone of your banker in your phone? If you don't, you should be going to Triumph Bank. Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank. I did not believe it, I'll be honest, when I first learned about Triumph Bank. Banks are banks are banks. No. Banks are not banks are not banks. Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank. It was started here in Memphis in 2006 by a group that understood that Memphis needed local banks. It has grown into a regional powerhouse with all the might and technology you need, but they still have that personal touch. Triumph Bank is my bank. Triumph Bank should be your bank. Triumph Bank is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Yeah, we're all busy with important things to do. But don't forget, it's also important to laugh. Laughing keeps you sane. So for your sanity's sake, check out Comedy Now on radio.com.
After college, I moved into my own apartment. It's near where my parents live. It's across the hallway.
Comedy Now plays nonstop stand-up comedy from the best comedians in America.
I'll tell you what place I like on the plane is that little bathroom. It's like your own little apartment on the plane.
Listen to Comedy Now anytime on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, this is John Martin, and July 4th is coming up. It's America's birthday. It's my birthday. Now is the time to get your fireworks for July 4th festivities. The place to go, Boom City Fireworks. They've got the largest selection and biggest discounts of fireworks in the entire Mid-South. There are two air-conditioned locations, 3rd Street South and Getwell at State Line Road. Both are open daily from 8 a.m. to 12 midnight. Monster reloadables are 25% off, and power candles are only 397. So get on out, head to Boom City Fireworks. That's Boom City Fireworks.
There are a number of ways to know when you need a new roof. Maybe the shingles are curled or cracked. Maybe a storm causes multiple leaks. Just the look of a worn roof can keep you from selling your home. This is Jeff Calkins, and I want to tell you about Bennett Roofing, a locally owned, licensed, and insured company that understands that your roof is a big investment. So from beginning to end, they'll let you know everything to expect and how your beautiful new roof is going to look when it's done. So contact the folks I'd contact by going to BennettRoofingMemphis.com or calling 359-9708. That's 359-9708.
Hey, Jason Smith here, and listen, AutoZone is one of the big reasons I've been able to keep my 2006 Mazda on the road so long. With more than 5,700 locations, they've helped me with everything from battery changes to replacing my brake pads. And with their same-day pickup, you can order online and get what you need in store or curbside. Have a job that can wait? AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35 if you order by 10 p.m. So you can get what you need when you need it. Visit AutoZone.com today to get started. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Hey, Couch Surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen, yes, you Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or cancel?
So meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Limitations apply.
I'm not sure I talk enough when I talk about Cooper Systems in terms of computer repair. Let's be honest. When something goes wrong with your computer, it's incredibly frustrating. It's frustrating because you want it fixed now, and it's also frustrating because you don't know exactly how to get it fixed. Well, I know how you should get it fixed. Call Cooper Systems, 360.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.